So when Pastor John, ex-Pastor John, I guess we have to call him now, huh? Ex-our Pastor John? former pastor, that's much better. When he got his plane tickets and knew when they were leaving, and then when Mark, the new pastor who will be coming this coming week, there was a Sunday gap in between, and I felt inspired to say to John, hey, I'd bring the message that day if you concur that that would be good. And I'm really glad I did, and it's really good to be here with you this morning. For me, Christmas, probably as when I've been a pastor for 35 years. I had been before I moved here a year ago. And probably Christmas wasn't my biggest moving holidays when I began being a pastor. But after 35 years of thinking about it, preparing through the long months, the long gray Oregon, which is even grayer and darker in some ways than here in Prague, of thinking about it and needing each year to say to my people, this is what it means. I've come into an increasing realization of how profound and how truly spectacular what we celebrate is. And it's just a real privilege just to share from some of that journey with you as we look at the gospel from Matthew, the birth account from Matthew this morning. But I want to start in John, because in the Gospel of John, it very clearly, in a very short way, says the Christmas message. And it puts it, John puts it this way, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, it seems to me that God is kind of in a hard, difficult place, because the creator of the universe is wanting to relate to us who are his creatures. And that's the big essence of our creation, is that we would have this fellowship with him. But he is God, and we are human beings, and there's a big difference between us and God. But you see, God continually was working to find ways to express who he is to us. And he did that through the law. He did that through the choosing of Abraham. He did that through the words that came and the word that came through the prophets. But the words continued to come. And here in the midst of that, how does the holy creator God relate to sinful creatures? How does that happen? And how we who are such flesh and bone and so limited in our thinking and understanding, how do we understand this eternal, immortal, sovereign God, creator of the universe? And so John says, this is what God did. He said the Word, the way God was speaking to us, the way that God was revealing himself to us, became through flesh and bone, through a human being. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is profound. Now, sometimes we get caught up in this whole thing about the virgin birth. And that's an important teaching. But sometimes we get so caught up in the science and can that really happen? And of course I say, well, if God is God, creator of the universe, whatever God wants to do, God can do. And if he says that's what he's done, it's probably true. Well, probably true. It's pretty sure to be true. But if that's what God says, but see, we sometimes get caught there, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because this is really about God wanting you and I to be in a relationship with him. And to the extent that he went to was that he, the eternal God, became a human being. And that has many profound things, each of which could be a fully developed message. Profound things about his heart and his desire, his willingness to take on human form, his desire to be amongst the people, his desire to understand and to have us sense that he understands, and his desire to show us so much and to relate to us, speak to us with real words, to be there and do things like hand out bread and juice and say, "This is my body." Real human being doing real things with humanity. So God is attempting to bridge the gap. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this morning we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew, the account from Matthew. And in that account, I'm going to say there's three names that give us insight not only into who Jesus is, and of course, as we understand who Jesus is, we understand who God is, because he is the Son of God, the Word of God to reveal God to us, but also it's the total description of the gospel and the life that God intends for us to have as we live in relationship with him, which of course is why he came. So let's jump right into verse 20. If you can figure out where verse 20 is there, Michal. It's a couple slides down. Yeah, next, go to the next one. No, go back one. You're right. You were right the first time. Good job. Okay, now this first one's a little bit of a stretch. Okay, this is Jesus' surname. Okay, Joseph, son of David. The Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David." Now, I'm Scandinavian in heritage, and my ancestors, at least at some point, were son of Anders, Andersen. And there's a story that my great-great-grandpa came with two other young men to America, and they were all Andersens. And so each one took a new name, a new surname. And our chosen name that my ancestors chose was Hugren, Branch of the Sea. One of the other young men said he called himself Hugstrom, and I'm not sure what that means. And the third one I can't remember, but they came here. And within that Scandinavian tradition and other places, it's very Hebrew and Semitic as well, where you give someone a name and, for instance, you know, well, which Bill in Storm Lake, Iowa is it? Well, it's Bill Burney's son. Which Bill? Well, it's not Bill, son of so-and-so, but it was a way of distinguishing which person it was. And, of course, there's many, you know, a limited number of first names, but you put that with last names and hopefully you have enough that you don't have too much confusion, except for when you're around lots of Swedes and you go to a Swedish school and there's 2,000 people there and there's 5 Debbie Johnsons, because son of John, John's son, is a big Scandinavian name. So here we have, though, Joseph, son of David. Now, you probably recognize that Joseph's father wasn't David, but back some 27 generations of fathers was King David, who is the one that the writer here is referring to, King David, who we talked about some last week, we'll talk about before we're done again here this morning. But the son of David, that was the family surname, that was the family line, and so I call him Davidson. Now, that's a little stretch. That's out of my own Scandinavian heritage. But that's the surname that I'm going to give him this morning. The son of David. David's son. Now, to me, what that speaks to very clearly is Jesus' humanity. He was fully human, born into a line of people, although quite miraculously differently born, but born into a line of people that traced him back to King David. And in this essence of being human, again, there's so many things we could think about, but I just want to pull up one thing. That Jesus becomes for us, as we are fully human, he becomes the model or the example of God's intent for us as human beings. If we were without sin, he's what we'd look like, not physically, but in terms of the quality of his life and how we lived. He fulfilled God's intent. What God showed with Adam and Eve before they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, before they rebelled. And becomes, at least for me, a very clear picture of what God intends for me. So the last few months I've been working on my check, and I thought one way is to read my check Bible. So I've been going through the Gospel of Mark and Luke, and of course I have to go kind of slow, which is really good because then I slow down and I think more about what I'm reading. And here, as I process who, you know, the account of Jesus' life, there it is, right before me every day, what God is picturing for humanity and for me, the way of living, the way of life. And as I see that, I get great hope. Now, signs we can see who Jesus is, or we hear those things as law, but I hear them as promise and hope. That God says, this is what I intend for you, Bill. You may not be there quite yet. You may not be able to have people yell at you, mock you, stick a crown of thorns on your head and a spear, you know, spikes through your feet and say, "For God, Father, forgive them." You might not be there yet. But this is the hope that I lay out for you. This is what I intend for you. This is what I will do in your life as you follow me. You will be like unto Jesus. And so it gives me hope for myself, and it gives me hope for the world. Now it's easy to get so caught up in all the news and all the garbage and all the junk and all the other stuff. The Advent word for today is hope. But you see, there's hope. It doesn't have to be that way. We have a message. I have a message to proclaim. That in the midst of all the anger and hatred and all that, we have a God who gives himself, who makes us to be people who give ourselves and lay down our lives to express who he is, the King and Lord of love. Let's move on. Next verse, second name. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. You are to give him the name Jesus. Now, of course, that's the name you all know. But why did God say to Joseph that you're to name him Jesus? Well, Jesus means, it's from Hebrew, and it means the salvation of Yahweh. God's salvation. Yahweh was the Hebrew name for God. When Moses said, "Who should I say that you are, God?" God said, "I am who I am, Yahweh, Yehoshua, Jesus." The shua on the end means salvation, to save. When the crowds of children were crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," they were crying out, "Lord, save us, save us." And right here, at his birth, God was saying who this child was to be. He was to be his salvation born for his people. And so not only in his birth does God bridge that gap between creator and creature. In his birth, he's also bridging the gap between holy and righteous and sinful. Holy and righteous God and sinful people. As he took on human form in a way that he was called Jesus because he would save us from our sins. Wow. And of course, you know the story, how that goes on and how he matured, he grew up, he preached, he healed, he taught, but eventually he ended up on that cross. On that cross where, again, something that you can think about your whole life and never really fully grasp what happened there. But you can increasingly grasp what happened there, in which God took on our sin, experienced the separation that we have, in our place, that we might know his forgiveness. See, because he will save his people from their sins. He wasn't what they expected. They expected a king who would come, who would free them from Rome. But there was a worse oppressor in our lives than Rome. And that oppressor was sin, which kept us in bondage and in shame for years and years. And not even the wonderful gift of the law and the prophets, the word of God coming, set us free. But Jesus did, because he will save us from our sins. Next verse, the third name. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. One more. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And this is my favorite one, Emmanuel. With us. Im with new us with in with new us el. The other word for God from the Hebrew. And so it literally means God with us. You will call him that. You will call him God with us. See, and that's the thrust of God. That's the thrust of God in the incarnation, that he would be with us. You will call him God with us. And indeed, God took on human form and is God with us in and through Jesus. Now, Aaron last week spoke movingly about the third week of Advent and joy, and talked about how when they brought the ark back to Jerusalem, how David was so possessed with the Spirit of God that he danced in a way that was outrageous to his wife, and she rebuked him. And he said, I will be even more undignified than this, but I have to sing praise out of my joy for the presence of God. See, the ark was a symbol of the presence of God was being brought back to Jerusalem. The presence of God is amazing. And so that's what's happening here. The presence of God is coming into the world in a human being. And so the angel said, I bring you great news of good tidings, great joy. And it's found to you in the city of David in Bethlehem. And there was this whole myriad of angels, and they were all rejoicing and singing, glory to God in the highest. Just like David. Because the presence of God in our midst is the most precious and wonderful thing. And so in the midst of a dark world, you know, we talk about Jesus' light came in this little town in Bethlehem. And the angels were there. And the shepherds came and the wise men. And there was this celebration. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate that God came that God came, that God is with us. Now, when Jesus was about to die, he had told his disciples that he was going away and that they would be on their own. And they were very sad. They were distraught. And he tried to cheer them up by saying many things, but one of the things he said, "It is good that I am going away. It is good that I am going away. Because when I leave, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will dwell within you." See, God was still concerned about being present with us, about being Emmanuel. He came in human form, did what he was called to do, brought about the cross and our salvation. And to those who receive him, he says, "I'm going to put the Spirit now to dwell in you. I'm going to be present right in you." Now, we can think about that for years and years as well. And grab a hold of that and say, what does that mean? The God of the universe is dwelling inside me. Joy, like David, let's dance, let's sing. Let's be moved to tears. Let's show our gratitude. Let's just realize his presence. The presence of God. And what's amazing is that takes us right back to the first name. The humanity of Jesus, which shows us how to live, and by the power and the presence of the Spirit, we're changed. It isn't because one morning I woke up and thought, "I'm going to do better today. I'm going to be kinder to my wife." No. It's a gift. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And God gives us, he changes us, he transforms us. And Paul so wonderfully wrote, the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces these things, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. When God is present, when the Spirit is in our lives, those are the things that he produces, the things that are the qualities of Jesus that God embodied for us to see when he sent his Son. And it's when we grab a hold and say, "I want to be like Jesus," when we repent, that's what repent means, is change our thinking about who we want to be. Do we want to be caught in sin? Do we want to be our same old self? Or do we want to be like Jesus? Do we want to follow him, which is the call that he gave his disciples? He said, "Come follow me." Do we want to follow him? And when we follow him, that's repenting. We turn our life in a whole different direction. But wow, even if we do that, we fall short. Because on our own power, we can't do anything different. And it's at that very moment that this one Jesus was the gift who will save us from our sins, who will bring the forgiveness that we need for all the times where we tried hard and haven't quite made it. He will save us from our sins and give us new life. But not only that, he puts the Spirit to dwell within us, to change us. Now, there are so many good things that happen with Christmas. And, you know, you've been told probably many times, remember the reason for the season. And don't get caught up in the busyness. Boy, that's not easy not to do. But here's the key. In the midst of all the things you're doing, it's recognizing that the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, and you can do each of those things with him. He's right there. Right there, very present. See, and that's God's desire. God's desire is about being with us. That's why we were created. And see, no matter how busy or unbusy we are, God is still with us. And how much do we recognize that and just go, oh, wow, thank you, God, and do the happy dance? And just walk in utter amazement of the God who created us, who wants to be with us to the point of taking on human form, and in that form going to the cross and being willing to be separated, but sending us the Spirit to dwell inside of us, a much more profound gift. Wow. So, Father, we pray this morning. We just thank you so much for what you did. It's good news. It's gospel. It actually happened. It's something that you brought about as you took on human form and you gave yourself for us. Just thank you so much. And, Father, as we go about the rest of this day, as we celebrate Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, as we go many separate ways and have our own challenges, may we in all those situations be aware that you are God with us, that you are Emmanuel, and just fill our hearts, our time. May we be like you as we are with our family, our friends, or if we're by ourselves. May we know your presence and be filled with your joy.